Get this, listeners. We're diving into a major snowstorm, and it's predicted to hit, well, the South. Yeah, you heard that right. And I'm not just talking about a little, like, dusting here.
Yeah.
We're talking about some serious accumulation, enough to really cause some disruptions, you know, across a massive area.
It's pretty captivating when you think about it. This storm, they're calling it Winter Storm Cora, is on track to affect a stretch of the country, get this, 1,400 miles long, from Texas all the way to North Carolina.
Wow, 1,400 miles.
Yeah.
That's like almost the entire width of the U.S. So what are we looking at here? What kind of impact could this have on people in those areas?
Well, imagine this, right? Icy roads. I mean, really icy, turning into like skating rinks, treacherous conditions.
Yeah.
And then you've got widespread road closures, flight delays piling up. I mean, potentially schools and businesses shutting down, the whole nine yards. And it's going to hit in two waves. First Thursday into Friday. So that's Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas. They're going to feel it first.
Okay, so a double whammy of winter weather coming their way, impacting, well, millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people who aren't exactly, you know, used to dealing with heavy snow and all that ice.
Exactly. And then by Friday night into Saturday, Cora, it's expected to reach the Carolinas and the Mid-Atlantic. Might even brush the Northeast a bit, but snow there, I mean, that's not as much of a surprise.
Right. But snow in the South, that's pretty unusual, right? How much snow we're talking about here? Give us a sense of, you know, how much snow we could actually see.
Well, some areas, I mean, they could see some pretty significant accumulations. Forecasters are predicting up to, get this, half a foot of snow in parts of Arkansas and the southern Appalachians, and even Atlanta, which, you know, they haven't had a decent snowfall in like nearly 7 years. Even Atlanta has a moderate chance of getting a pretty good amount of snow this time around.
Wow. Atlanta getting hit with that much snow, that would definitely be make headlines, I think. I bet people there are already like rushing to the stores, stocking up on bread and milk, all the essentials, you know. But hold on, we're talking about significant snow in, well, places that just don't really see it that often.
Mm-hmm.
Are those cities, those southern cities, are they even equipped to handle that kind of weather?
That's a really great question. And it raises a crucial point. Many southern cities, they simply lack the infrastructure and resources that are, you know, readily available in places that get heavy snowfall regularly. You know, things like snow plows, salt trucks,
right.
even just the experience in managing icy roads and potential power outages.
You're right. It's easy to forget about all those logistical challenges when you're just picturing, you know, a beautiful snowy, you know, landscape.
Sure.
But the reality is a snowstorm in the South, I mean, that could lead to some major disruptions and some real safety concerns.
Exactly. Think about, just take snow removal as an example. Northern cities, they have these dedicated teams, right? And specialized equipment to clear the roads quickly. But in southern cities where snowfall is infrequent, those resources are, well, they're more limited, let's just say. So that could lead to longer delays and potentially dangerous driving conditions.
And don't forget the impact on just, you know, everyday life, right?
Yeah.
Schools might have to close for a long time. Businesses, you know, they could face closures, reduced hours. People might be stuck at home without power. It's like this ripple effect that can disrupt a whole region.
Absolutely. And it's not even just about, like, the immediate impact of the storm, right? We also have to think about what happens after, like the lingering effects of all that cold weather that sticks around. We're talking about temperatures, you know, potentially plummeting into the single digits in some areas. And there's even, you know, a chance of another Arctic blast hitting around January 20th.
So we're basically looking at a possible scenario where, okay, the South gets hit with this major snowstorm, and then it's followed by like a long stretch of freezing temperatures. That sounds like a recipe for some pretty serious problems.
It definitely is a cause for concern, especially when you consider the potential strain on, you know, on infrastructure. Like water pipes could freeze and burst, leading to like widespread water damage. And we can't forget about the impact on vulnerable populations, you know, like the elderly or people without proper heating.
Okay, you're painting a pretty sobering picture here.
Yeah.
It sounds like this storm could have, you know, these really far-reaching consequences, especially in regions that just aren't prepared for such extreme winter conditions.
It definitely is a reminder that, you know, these weather events, they don't just impact one specific spot. They can, like, ripple outwards, you know, affecting everything from, like, transportation and infrastructure to public health and the economy. And speaking of unexpected places for snow, our source is also delve into something you might find surprising, snow in Florida.
Wait a minute, Florida, the Sunshine State. I thought snow in Florida was about as likely as finding, I don't know, a penguin in the Sahara Desert.
It might sound unbelievable, but it's true. While, Disney World probably won't be turning into a winter wonderland, the idea of snow in Florida, it's not as crazy as it seems. Northern Florida, it actually sees snow flurries every year or two.
Hold on, you're telling me it actually snows in Florida. Not just a dusting, but enough to like call it snowfall.
Yep, although it rarely, sticks around for long. There have been some pretty notable events, though. For instance, back in January 2022, there were reports of snow flurries in Jay, Florida. And then back in 2014, there was this major winter storm that caused, a lot of disruption in the panhandle.
Okay, I'll admit I'm having a little trouble wrapping my head around the idea of, snow in Florida. I've always thought of Florida as like the land of, sunshine, beaches, palm trees. How on earth does it snow there?
Well, it all comes down to the science of snow formation. You see, snow, it can form even in temperatures that are, slightly above freezing, as long as the atmospheric conditions are right. It's not just about air temperature, it's also about humidity and something called the wet bulb effect.
Okay, the wet bulb effect. That sounds intriguing. Break that down for me. What's the science behind that?
So imagine you have a thermometer, right? And it's got this wet cloth wrapped around the bulb. So as the water evaporates from the cloth, it cools the thermometer, giving you what's called the wet bulb temperature. Now, even if the air temperature is above freezing, if the wet bulb temperature is low enough, meaning the air is dry enough, snow can still form.
So it's not just about how cold it is, it's also about how much moisture is in the air. Fascinating. So while Florida might not be like, a full-blown winter wonderland, it's not entirely immune to a little snow every now and then.
Exactly. It's a good reminder that weather, it can be pretty unpredictable, even in places we associate with, just sunshine and warmth. But let's shift our focus back to Winter Storm Cora for a moment, because it's not just the snow and the ice that we need to be aware of. The aftermath, that could be just as challenging.
Okay, I'm all ears. What kind of aftermath are we talking about?
Well, for starters, the storm, it's going to be followed by this like lingering cold air with temperatures potentially dropping like way down into the single digits in some spots. And remember, that possibility of another Arctic blast hitting around January 20th, well, that could make the period of really, really cold temperatures last even longer, which would put, even more stress on infrastructure and resources.
Right. So we're talking about a potential 1-2 punch, right? First, you get a snowstorm, and then bam, it's followed by this like prolonged deep freeze. And let's be honest, there's one big concern that always comes up when we talk about extreme cold in Texas, the power grid.
Oh, you're absolutely right. After that, after that devastating winter storm back in 2021, which, it caused those widespread power outages and tragically, loss of life. Well, there are definitely some anxieties, and understandably so, about whether the grid can handle another, extreme cold event.
I can only imagine the worry people in Texas must be feeling right now, knowing that this storm could, put the power grid to the test again.
It's a valid concern, especially considering that ERCOT, that's the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, the organization that manages the state's power grid. Well, they've stated that while they expect grid conditions to be normal during the storm, the frigid temperatures, they're definitely going to increase power demand. It's a situation that definitely needs to be monitored very closely.
Absolutely. It really highlights how important, communication and transparency from ERCOT is, as well as, taking steps to make sure the grid is reliable, especially during a, during a potentially challenging time like this.
Yeah, it really shows you how like all our infrastructure systems are connected, and how something like a winter storm, it can like really expose weaknesses that we might not even know about.
You've definitely painted a pretty clear picture of the potential challenges here. But let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about what our listeners can do, to prepare for Winter Storm Cora or really any, any unexpected weather event that might come their way.
Okay, so a good place to start is staying informed, checking the latest weather forecasts and warnings, from reliable sources like the National Weather Service. And don't just like glance at the forecast. really pay attention to the details, like when is the storm hitting? How much snow or ice are they predicting? And are there any specific warnings or advisories for your area?
That's great advice. Knowledge is power, right?
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to weather events. But beyond staying informed, what are some practical things people can do to prepare for a potential snowstorm, especially if they live in a region that doesn't usually see a lot of snow?
One really crucial step is getting a winter emergency kit together. Think about like the essentials. What would you need if you were, stuck at home without power for a few days? So warm clothing, blankets, extra food and water, a flashlight with extra batteries, a first aid kit, and of course, any medications you need.
It's amazing how easy it is to like forget about those basic things when you're not, used to dealing with snow and ice. And what about preparing your home? Are there any specific things people should do to make sure their house can, withstand a winter storm?
Oh, absolutely. If you have pipes that run along like exterior walls or in unheated spaces, you might want to think about insulating them, to prevent them from freezing and make sure you know where your water shutoff valve is just in case a pipe does burst. And if you have a fireplace, make sure it's clean and working properly. Having a backup source of heat can be really important if the power goes out.
Those are really great tips. It's all about, thinking ahead and trying to anticipate, what those potential challenges might be.
Yeah.
Now, what about transportation? What advice would you give to someone who, who absolutely has to travel during a winter storm?
Well, if at all possible, avoid traveling during the worst part of the storm. If you absolutely have to travel, let someone know your route and when you expect to arrive and check road conditions before you head out. And it probably goes without saying, but slow down and drive carefully. Ice can be, really deceptive and even experienced drivers can lose control in those conditions. So give yourself extra time, keep a safe distance from other cars and avoid braking or accelerating suddenly.
That's sound advice for any driver, really, but especially for those who aren't used to driving on icy roads. And while we're talking about safety, what about staying warm? What are some tips for staying safe and preventing hypothermia during those really cold temperatures?
Dressing in layers is crucial. Multiple layers of clothing, they trap heat much better than just one heavy garment. And make sure you protect your extremities. Wear a hat, gloves, and warm socks. And if you're spending time outdoors, try to stay dry. Wet clothing can really increase your risk of hypothermia.
Those are really practical tips. I mean, yeah. It's easy to feel overwhelmed when you're, when you're faced with a big storm, especially if it's not something you're used to, but having a plan and taking some basic steps to prepare can make a huge difference. It's all about being proactive, right?
Mm.
And empowering yourself with knowledge and being prepared.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it's not just about like individual preparedness either. Communities can also play a really big role in lessening the impacts of these winter storms. So thinking about community resilience, what comes to mind?
Well, think about, communication.
Hmm.
Local authorities, they need to have clear ways of communicating, right?
Hmm.
To keep residents informed about the storm's progress and any potential dangers and what resources are available. And of course, emergency response plans, they need to be in place and everyone needs to know, what their role is and how to respond effectively if there's a crisis.
Exactly. And it's not just about, responding to the storm as it's happening. It's also about planning for what comes after. Things like coordinating snow removal, making sure that people who are, vulnerable have access to shelter and warmth and addressing potential power outages. I mean, all of that requires a coordinated community response.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's about, coming together as a community, right? And supporting each other during those tough times. And I think it also shows how important it is to invest in infrastructure that's resilient. After all, if our power grids and our transportation systems and our communication networks, if they can't withstand extreme weather events, then everyone's at risk.
Precisely. We need to move beyond just reacting to these events. We need to start thinking ahead proactively about how to build stronger communities that can withstand the challenges of a changing climate. And speaking of learning from past events, the whole Texas power grid situation, it really emphasizes that need to not just, react, but to adapt and improve.
Absolutely. The 2021 winter storm in Texas, I mean, that was a a real wake-up call. It showed just how vulnerable the state's power grid is and the terrible consequences of those vulnerabilities. So what steps have been taken since then to make the grid more resilient?
Well, ERCOT, they've made a number of changes. Things like weatherization requirements for power plants, increasing reserve capacity, and improving communication and coordination protocols. But there are still concerns about whether these changes are enough, you know, to prevent another disaster like the one in 2021, especially with, you know, extreme weather events becoming more frequent and more intense.
It's a good reminder that building resilience, it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. It requires constant evaluation, you know, adaptation and investment. We can't afford to be complacent.
Yeah.
Especially as the climate continues to change and we're faced with, you know, more and more of these extreme weather events.
And it's not just about, you know, the physical infrastructure either. We also need to think about social resilience. How can we build, you know, stronger communities that can support each other,
yeah,
you know, when times get tough? That means building connections, trust, and mutual aid. It means checking on your neighbors, especially, you know, the elderly or people who are vulnerable. It means sharing resources and information, and it means working together to create a more equitable and resilient society for everyone.
I love that perspective. It's not just about surviving the storm, right? It's about thriving in the face of adversity and building strong and more connected communities. This deep dive has been incredibly insightful. You know, it shed light on the potential impacts of Winter Storm Cora, the importance of being prepared, and the broader context of, you know, climate change and community resilience.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also highlighted, you know, the unexpected, like a major snowstorm hitting the South. The fact that it actually snows in Florida and those lingering worries about the Texas power grid, it's a reminder that we need to challenge our assumptions, stay informed, and be ready for anything.
And speaking of the unexpected, before we wrap up, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier, the history of snow in Florida. You mentioned some specific events, but what can we learn from those events about how weather patterns are changing? Is snow in Florida becoming more common, or are these just, you know, isolated incidents?
That's a great question. While it's hard to say for sure based on just a few events, the fact that Florida has seen several, you know, pretty notable snowfalls in recent decades does raise some interesting questions. Some scientists think that climate change could be a factor, you know, contributing to more of these extreme weather events, including unusual snowfalls in places that don't usually get snow. Others say that these events are just, you know, part of natural climate variability. We need more research to really understand the long-term trends and whether there's a connection to climate change.
It's a reminder that we're still learning about our climate system and how it's being affected by what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it really underscores how important it is to keep doing scientific research and monitoring, you know, to better understand these trends and make informed decisions about how to adapt to a changing world.
I couldn't agree more. We need to approach these issues with a sense of curiosity and humility and a willingness to learn and adapt as we get new information.
This deep dive has given us so much information and so many perspectives. But before we wrap up, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. Given that, you know, extreme weather events are becoming more frequent, how can we shift our mindset, you know, from just reacting to these events to becoming more proactive and adaptable in the face of uncertainty?
That's a powerful question. It challenges us to look beyond those immediate concerns, mm-hmm, and think about the long-term implications of a changing climate and how we can adapt, you know, both individually and collectively.
It's about recognizing that we're all in this together.
Right.
And that building a more resilient future, it requires all of us to work together.
Exactly. It's about fostering a sense of community, sharing what we know, supporting each other, and working together to create a more sustainable and equitable world for ourselves and for future generations.
That's a beautiful and inspiring message to end on. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay safe, stay informed, and let's keep talking about these important issues together.
Yeah, it really is. It's like a call to action, you know, to stop being complacent and start being more proactive about building a more resilient future.
And it brings us back to, you know, that main theme we've been talking about, you know, how these unexpected weather events are connected to individual and community preparedness.
Yeah.
And the bigger picture of a changing climate.
You know, it's fascinating to me as this deep dive started with something that seemed you know, pretty straightforward, a snowstorm in the South. And it's turned into this really multifaceted exploration of climate change and resilience and how interconnected our world really is.
It really shows you the power of curiosity, right? And how important it is to dig a little deeper and uncover those deeper layers of meaning and connection. We've definitely covered a lot of ground today, you know, from the specifics of winter storm Core's path and what kind of impact it could have to these broader questions of climate change adaptation and community resilience. But as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with one last, you know, thought-provoking question.
Okay, go ahead.
So given that, you know, these extreme weather events are happening more and more often, they're becoming more intense, how can we as individuals and as communities, you know, how can we start being more proactive and adaptable?
Yeah.
You know, how can we shift from just reacting to these events to anticipating them, preparing for them, and maybe even thriving, you know, in the face of all this uncertainty?
That's a really powerful question to think about. It challenges us to move past that, you know, fear and anxiety and embrace a more empowered and solution-oriented approach to the challenges that we face.
Yeah. It's about realizing that we have agency, right? That we can make choices and take action to help create a more resilient future.
Yeah.
You know, for ourselves and for our communities.
Exactly. It's about fostering a spirit of innovation and collaboration and collective action, you know, working together to create a world where we don't just, you know, survive, but where we actually thrive in the face of change.
And that's a message of hope and empowerment that I think we can all, you know, take with us.
Absolutely. We have the knowledge and the resources and the ingenuity to face these challenges and create a more resilient and sustainable future.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, let's remember the lessons we've learned and the questions we've raised and the possibilities that are out there.
Yeah. Let's embrace the challenge of building a more resilient world, a world that can weather the storms, you know, both literally and figuratively and emerge, you know, stronger and more connected than ever before.
Thank you everyone for joining us on this journey of discovery. Stay curious, stay engaged. And let's keep exploring these important issues together.